Our scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 43. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging, and hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God.
So as we start this morning, our first Sunday in the season of Advent, today we're looking at Jesus reverses the curse. I love this story. I think it's got so much going on in it. And today I'm looking forward to breaking this down together. And I think the Lord has some important things to remind us and to say to us, especially in this season. This story involves a man that the parallel gospel from Mark tells us his name is Bartimaeus, but affectionately today we're going to refer to him as Blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bart. We'll shorten it up just a bit. Blind Bart has got quite a story for us to understand, and some of it is missed just based on our culture, who we are, what we've known, and so we can just kind of breeze past some of this, but just like Jesus didn't breeze past blind Bart, I think we need to take some time and understand just a little bit more about what is going on in this scripture that we see here in Luke chapter 18 or Mark chapter 10, so we can understand just a little bit more about him. So to set the story up, Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem. This is the time just before the beginning of the end. They always say the beginning of the end is sometimes the hardest. And so Jesus knew well what was going on before him as he is on this journey. This is just days away before we see the Passover, before Jesus will be taken in question, before the miraculous work of Christ upon the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection. This is just in that sequence right before then. And so he is making his way to Jerusalem. He is outside the city of Jericho, which is home for good old blind Bart. And it's been home probably to Bart for a long time. Now for us, we say, well, what can we really know about Bart? Well, he's blind, and he's been blind since birth. So that means that the summation of his life is this. He sits and he begs. On Monday, he sits and he begs. On Tuesday, he sits and he begs. Wednesday, just to be a little bit different, he sits to the other side and begs, but is still begging. And this has been Bart's life since the time he was young. Bart's also pretty much so probably an outcast. Now, this takes a little bit of putting together. We have to go into the Gospel of Mark. Mark says that he was the son of Timaeus. Now, the interesting thing about that name is that is more of a Greek name and probably not a Jewish name, which means at best, Bart might be sort of half and half. Because, and the reason we say this is he's aware of the Jewish cultures and traditions. We're going to see that in just a few seconds by some of the statements he makes. There's some terminology he uses, but the reality of it is by his own father's name, he could not, more than likely, speculating on the best educated ways we can, probably not purely a Jew. And so this man is not got an easy life. We see it as he's got a physical blindness, But in that day and age, it's way different than if you're blind in this day and age. This day and age, you can learn things like Braille. You could read. You can learn to do work on computers because you could use voice activated. The physical impairment of blindness does not necessarily lead one to a life that has nothing going on in it. But for Bartimaeus, that's not true. That's not what's going on in his culture. It has cast him into a very specific role. There's not a lot of opportunity. And if that wasn't bad enough, he is really a dirty guy. Because he is kind of the dog blended with maybe a little bit of Jew. And so for the people that are in the authority around him where he is residing in Jericho, he is a very unclean person. He probably physically was a little bit unclean too. I mean, he pretty much so has to be cared for. Nobody helps him step into the shower. That didn't exist at that time and day. So there's probably a little bit of physical challenge with Bartimaeus. He's probably not the cleanest, most well-shaven, cared-for, fed kind of person. In fact, Mark even says that he did have his cloak, and that's kind of important because we say, well, good, he had something to wear. No, actually, that was more of a symbol of to say, this is who you are, Bart. This is who you're always going to be. You're a blind beggar, and your role in life is to sit outside the city, not in the city. No. No, Bart. You need to remain outside the city, over here. And so we start to get this bigger picture that Bart sort of lives the life of a prisoner. Bart is not a person who has a lot of hope. He is a man who's pretty much so down and out in life. And he has some people that are kind of even helping to support that in his day-to-day. Well-intended friends is what it sounds like, because Bart would have needed to get from point A to B, and somebody's clearly helping him get to A to B, and so that he can sit there and he can beg for coins as people walk by. But this day, it was definitely a little bit different. As he sat there, marked with his cloak, he begins to hear something going on around him. The normal people coming by, feet moving, shifting, something's happening. There's a parade, and who doesn't love a parade, right? Maybe there's going to be candy thrown. There's all kinds of possibilities. Coins could come running because the parade has come. And so he hears this noise, and he goes, I don't know what is going on, but I'm going to ask my friends, what is happening? What's going on around me? And they say, this Jesus of Nazareth, he's passing by. This Jesus of Nazareth, this rabbi from Nazareth is coming by. And so that's a man of respect. And so if you're a dirty person, you know that and you're cast into a system that says this is who you are in life, you know that you need to sit and just be quiet. Because there is a person of importance coming by. I can imagine if it had been a Roman soldiers coming by, Bart would have needed to be really quiet. Don't draw much attention to yourself, Bart. You don't know. Those guys are crazy. And they're definitely not going to mess with a dirty outcast like you. So you just need to sit and be very, very quiet. This one, out of respect, don't mess with the rabbi. Don't mess with the rabbi. Because you see, you're cursed. Mark, you. This is something. The reason that was seen there, and we even look to the words, the origin words there, and we'll get to that in a second. But this is saying that the reason it's believed that Bart is blind is because there's been sin of his father that is following onto him, and so you just need to remain quiet. That's really interesting. Bart's not going to be quiet. Bart's not going to be quiet. Bart, I can't even imagine this crowd that's moving with Jesus, the size of the crowd, the number of people, the noise that it's making. There could be teaching, there could be singing going on. We have no idea, but I'm sure it wasn't just a quiet parade of people that are moving. It's causing a commotion. And Bart begins to cry out. And what he says is, he says, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, he was told as a blind person that this is Jesus of Nazareth, that rabbi, that teacher that we've heard about, he's coming by. Listen, speculation is there's possibly a time that Jesus has crossed this path before. It doesn't necessarily have to be the first time he's come. Jesus of Nazareth, as a rabbi and teacher, it has gone around the area. People have heard this name, obviously. There's a following. But see, the blind person who physically can't see that has to be told that there is a crowd that's coming by, and in this crowd is Jesus of Nazareth. It's a really funny response. Not only does Bart not mind his manners and stay there quietly, he begins to say something that's very interesting. He says, Son of David, which leads to mean the Messiah. Have mercy on me. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7 talks about who this Messiah would be. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there will be no end, of the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. This is what this dirty blind man, this unclean blind man is saying. He's saying, no, you said Jesus of Nazareth. I say Messiah. Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me. John predicted this in Matthew 11:5. He said, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. That's who John the Baptist said that Jesus was. And Luke is telling those that are leading the way. Mark says there's many people that are around him. And so these people that are around him, when they hear blind Bart begin to say, Messiah, Son of David. And he's not just saying it, guys, because this is a crowd. He's shouting this. Many people, Mark says, Luke says a number of the people, the crowd, Matthew says the crowd, those that were close to him, they begin to say, Bart, be quiet. Be quiet. And you say, well, why were they concerned about something like that? Why did Bart need to remain quiet? Well, here's the situation. As a beggar, and knowing your place, he was drawing attention that was unnecessary. He was drawing attention that was unnecessary because, see, they could be cast off at any time. They'd be told to move. Let's get out of the way. And so you're a distraction anyway. I mean, think about it. How many of us just love when we're walking somewhere in a major city or we pulled up to a stop sign? How many of us just love those interactions with people that are in a situation similar to Bart and they're asking for coins, they're begging for coins, they're asking for money, they're wanting something? It's uncomfortable, right? And we just think, well, those people just need to move away. And so there's a little bit of that going on, but there's something else that's going on. This man is talking crazy. This man is talking foolish. And so it's bringing attention to him that the crowd is saying, listen, you need to remain quiet because, listen, it's bad enough, Bart, that you are what you are. You're an unclean person. You are this mixed person that is seen even more unclean. You're definitely cursed. You have to be taken care of. You're a real problem in life, Bart. Now you're becoming foolish. Now you're becoming foolish because you're talking about some crazy talk. And what does Bart do? When they say be quiet, he gets even louder. And so he says, no, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And it's to the point that Jesus hears this. And he says, bring him to me. And what's really interesting is, as soon as Jesus says that, the crowd then, we know when Mark goes and gets Bartimaeus and says, come, don't fear. And what I love that Bartimaeus does, we don't see it in the Luke account, but we see it in the Mark's account of the gospel, that Bartimaeus takes off that cloak, that beggar's cloak, lays it down, and is moved towards Jesus. And then the really interesting thing begins to happen in the scripture, because as he approaches Jesus, this is something that we've seen Jesus at the Bethesda. Well, we've seen Jesus heal other people, but there's something that's very interesting here. He says to blind Bart, "What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?" Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever had a moment with Christ where Christ has said, what is it that you want me to do? Now, you know, what's really interesting about this man is he has only known survival by getting a few coins each and every day, just enough to survive, something to find just a little bit of sustenance. And in fact, I like to say that Bartimaeus wasn't really living. He was just alive. And so Jesus says to him this question that some of us could sit here and go, well, what do you think he wanted, Jesus? What do you think he wanted? But to Bartimaeus, it could have come through his mind to say, well, you know, listen, right now, what I'd really love is a big old bag of coins, because I could take about a week and a half off begging, just stay home and relax a little bit. Because this whole begging game is really a lot of hard work. Or maybe he could have said, you know, I don't like the way that people treat me. I want to be treated better. I've been marginalized for so long. I have pain in my body because the atrophy that happens, because I don't move as much. He could have said a list of a lot of different things. But it's really interesting. He says, I want to see. I want to see, and if we get into the words there, really he's saying, I want the covenant of fidelity to be realized in me. I realize who I am. I realize that there is a physical and a spiritual blindness in me, and I want to have that healed. I want you to do for me what only you can do as the Son of David, as the Messiah. And of course, we see that in that second there. That's interesting. Jesus doesn't take mud. He doesn't rub it in Bart's eyes. He doesn't say, go to the pool and wash. He doesn't send him anywhere. He just says, Bartimaeus, your faith has healed you. His sight is recovered. And all of a sudden, blind Bart transforms right in front of all of us to seeing Bart. And what's really interesting is that Scripture tells us then he begins to follow. And we know that he continues on with Christ. There's a transformation. And so it's obvious to us as we look at this that this is the picture of salvation. This is exactly what Jesus came to do. And so for the next few minutes, I want to just take a look at three different things about how this scripture applies to us and who we are in this story. First of all, I want to say this. Number one is we are all blind. As we come into this world, each and every one of us, we are blind Bart. We are born just as Bart was into a sinful world, separated from a holy God. And in our own spiritual blindness, we are dirty. We need that healing. We have been born with this curse. Tuphelos is the word that's in this scripture talking about being blind, and it leads one to back to saying that this is a spiritual separation is the meaning. It's rooted in oppression. It's a blindness that is physical but rooted in oppression. And the imagery here extends to us. We, just like Bart, are separated from God. That root began back with Adam and extends to every human being on the face of the earth. We are all affected by that blindness. It reminds me of an object lesson that God chose to teach me a few years ago. If I could be anywhere at any right now, even from here, if there's any one place I could be that I love to spend time at, it's when I'm overseas, in the compounds, the shanty villages, or anytime I can be surrounded by the little children that we work with. There's nothing to me greater than that. I become a human jungle gym. I can sit, and I can all of a sudden have 35 or 40 little ones climbing all over me, pouncing on me, wanting to sing, wanting to do just silly stuff. It's just an amazing time. And so sometimes I find the opportunity just to kind of steal away a few moments, sometimes in these compounds. And I remember sitting there, it was probably my third trip that I had been over, and I was just thanking God for this ability because it's so different from anything I'd ever experienced in my life. And you know, one of the things that's very noticeable with most of these children when you're working with them is that they're coming from situations where their physical ability to have things such as water, clean clothes, and food are very scarce, okay? When you're living out of what's equivalent in a family to about a 5-gallon bucket of water, and that's water that you're going to drink, you're going to wash with, because that water costs money that your family or who you're staying with doesn't have, I'm going to tell you there's something that's going to happen. Number one, probably your clothes are not going to be as clean as they possibly could. Number two, your body is probably not going to be as clean as it possibly could. And so we know what that can lead to, that you've got, I see this situation we've been talking about here with Bart. You've got some people that are just like Bart, very lowly, probably not real physically clean. And they're kind of trapped into that situation. And so as I was sitting there with these kids climbing all over me, I was thanking God because I'm like, I desire so much to be with these children. I love them, and I'm not concerned about the fact the way they look, the anything about who they are, because they're just amazing people to be with. They honestly, it's almost just like this sweet aroma that it is there with them because of the love and because of who they are and the beauty. I just see them as incredibly amazing and beautiful children. And God began to say something to my heart that I had never thought about or really put together before. And he said, Ward, he said, the reason that you see them is because of the love that I have put there. But I want you to know, he said, furthermore, I want you to see something. And I want you to understand it from this day forward. He said, the way that you're saying that when humans look at another human and say, this child is dirty, this child doesn't have much, this child is his clothes are torn, it's tattered. When we look at those things and we make those judgments, he said, what I really want you to understand is that's the same way that I see you. To me, you're all, there is no difference. You're all just dirty, tattered clothes, little children, running around chasing your own tails, sort of digging holes. I've heard somebody say one time, digging holes in the ground and calling them wells. But the difference is Christ. And it's the blood of Christ that pours over as Christ comes into the life that brings that sweet aroma. It's Christ alone that when a person comes to Christ, that casts off all of the dirty, all of the tattered, and makes beautiful. It's through Christ that happens. And so I look at Bart's life, and I realize that as the world saw him as marginalized and poor and lowly, that God didn't see him separated from those who had wealth, from those who had means other than Bart, from those who had sight. God saw the same way. And so as Christ can come and transform the life, it's Christ's power that makes us clean. It's not anything that we can do. To God, we're all the same. We're all just a bunch of stinky little children, dirty, tattered, and running around. It's through the blood of Christ that we can be transformed. And we can become sweet and beautiful and have that fragrant, fresh aroma. And only through Christ alone. So we are all blind. Number two, I think we are all searching for healing from our blindness. Bart had his place. He had his cloak. He was there each and every day. And like I said, I don't think that Bart was very much alive. I think he was just surviving. He was living, but he wasn't alive. He really had a prison sentence that he had been sentenced to. And so I think that parallels a lot of what we go through before we come to Christ. Think back to those days before you knew who Jesus Christ was as your Savior. Think about all the different things you tried to do in life to find to satisfy that, right? You tried this, you tried that, but nothing could satisfy you the way that coming to Christ has. And so I think for those of us as believers, we can understand that. But I think the other thing to see is what was going on with his friends around him. See, Bart had been asking for a healing, I think, for a while. Bart was wanting this situation to be behind him. He wasn't enjoying living in the curse that he lived in. He wanted freedom from that. But everyone around him, all they could do was sort of just give him false fixes, temporary solutions, but not really lifelong solutions. They helped him get to where he needed to go. They helped him make sure that he could be where he needed to beg, and hopefully got a few coins that day, hopefully enough to sustain and continued on. But Bart was desiring truly to be healed. He wanted to see this curse lifted. Just like each and every one of us, we go looking for solutions to our problems. Before we come to Christ, we get into situations, we are looking for answers. We want our curse to be lifted. Sometimes we look in the wrong place, because that leads us to our third point. It's only the power of God that can reverse the blindness. See, Bart couldn't even know who was walking by that day. He just knew there was noise. He had no idea who was coming by. And even as he was told that it's this Jesus of Nazareth that's coming by, Bart was able to reply with something that no human eye would ever be capable of seeing. He said, no, that's the Son of David. This is the Messiah. We don't find Christ on our own. See, there was nothing inside Bartimaeus that was capable of seeing who Jesus was. Even if he had had the best 20/20 eyesight possible, Bartimaeus would have physically saw what his friends saw. Well, that's Jesus of Nazareth. And so this is a subtle thing, but I don't want us to miss it. We will never come to Christ except that Christ has come to us. There's something that God does on the inside to reveal to each and every one of us who he is. Now, what we do in that moment, that can make all the difference, but it takes the power of God to reverse the blindness. John 20:29, Jesus said to him, "You believe because you've seen me, but blessed are those who believe and have not seen." Bartimaeus had something speak to his heart, reveal to him. And Jesus said that it was his faith. And he said, it's because of your faith that you have been healed. And so in those moments, as Bartimaeus is being transformed, and the work of God is being done, it was nothing of earthly that could have created that. It was Christ alone that was doing the work. And so we see in this one encounter the fullness of the gospel, a blind sinner separated from birth from God, coming to that glorious transformation of salvation through the Messiah, being completely healed. He laid down his old life and he began to follow Christ. He pushed past what others could physically see in this world and that what he was doing, and he risked it all. He did risk it all. He wasn't going to be quiet. And believed in that transformational power of Christ to reverse the curse. We are utterly as dependent as Bartimaeus was. We are in the same boat as blind Bart before his transformation. It is only Christ that can reverse the curse. I want to close today with just one question. Who are we in this story? And what I mean by that is it's easy to say, well, Ward, that's simple. This is a physical story that has a picture that applies to all of us, because we are Bartimaeus. You've just said that yourself. We all are born into sin. We need the salvation of Christ. And I agree with that. But I think in this season and what's going on in our world today, I think there's another interesting picture that goes on here that's very subtle throughout the three parallel gospels here. And that is, I want to talk about the crowd and the friends. All right? As Matthew said, the crowd rebuked Bartimaeus as he began to shout and say these things. Mark says that it's many people. And Luke said in the scripture we read this morning, those who led the way. So the picture we get is that there were those that were with Jesus that knew well who Jesus was, that are sort of kind of clearing the path as Jesus and the entourage is making their way. And they're hearing what Bartimaeus is saying, and they're saying, dude, you need to be quiet over there. You need to be quiet. You need to know your place. The other parallel gospels kind of mean that it would say that it was many. It probably was some of Bartimaeus' friends going, Bartimaeus, you sound like a fool. Can you please shut up? And then we have from Matthew saying that the crowd rebuked him. The crowd rebuked him. Everybody around Jesus was rebuking this man who's saying, that is the Messiah. Heal me. Cleanse me. And they're rebuking him? And so I think this is an interesting thing. I won't tarry much longer. I just want us to think about this. There's a marginalized world that still exists. There are still a lot of blind Barts just outside the doors of this church. How are we behaving as believers in Christ who know who Jesus is? Because, see, the thing is a lost and dirty and tattered and blind spiritually person, they're going to say a lot of foolish things. And they're going to act out in some foolish ways. But how are we going to respond to them? Because, see, in the scripture we get today, in the parallel gospels, we know that those same people that were rebuking, when Jesus rebukes them, then they go and they become the servants they need to be. And they help this man get to where he needs to get. Because there was a separation. Yes, there was a spiritual separation between Bartimaeus and Christ, but there was a physical barrier. And so we don't want to miss past that. And so what I'm asking us today is, as believers and as a body of Christ who worship together, what are we doing for those that are marginalized? As ourselves have been blind Bart, that we can sit here today knowing who Christ Jesus is and the transformation that happened in us, what are we doing for the marginalized? Are we seeing them as dirty? Are we seeing them as tattered and stinky? Are we seeing them as foolish? Are we saying, shh, you're making noise. You're making noise. We're trying to worship the Holy One here. Can you see what we're doing? We're going about our Father's business. Please remain quiet. Stay in your place. Or is it going to take the rebuking of Christ until we see that, you know what? A servant of Christ goes and gets the marginalized. The marginalized can't come to Christ physically. We have to go. And I think there's something in there that we need to ponder and we need to think about in this season of our life. Because I'll tell you something, the marginalized world is a lot bigger than we realize. One of the largest curses, I think, on the church in America is that we see the world through the worldview of sitting in our pews. And we don't realize how big the hurt and how big this separation is globally of those who have never heard, who have never seen, who are still being treated as if they're dirty. Unapproachable. As a church, sometimes we're saying that they're unworthy, but those are the very people that we need to run to. Listen, Bartimaeus had some friends that were caring for him. They tried to clean him up a little bit, tried to make sure he got to where he needed to be. They weren't really bringing a solution to him. But they were touching and encountering him every day. They weren't blocking him from Jesus, but they sure weren't rushing him to Jesus. And so I ask you, in your heart, think about those, this world that we're around. Are we really, really trying to get to those that are in those marginalized positions? Are we really taking them to Jesus? Are we trying to clean them up a little bit? We're trying to refine them a little bit before we invite them into church. We're trying to see if we can just get them to be a little bit better. Listen, Jesus took Bart and us just as we are. Christ never asked us to clean up our lives, change our shirts, get our mouth in order before we come to him. He takes us just as we are. And Jesus came to reverse the curse of sin. Let's pray. Father, as we come to this scripture this morning, we are truly reminded of who you are. Father, and in this season, we are so grateful that you stepped out of heaven to come and be the great and perfect sacrifice. That, Father, you are the reversal of our curse of sin. And so, Father, even this morning as we've come together, Father, remind our hearts how you really feel about those that are marginalized. Father, and may we sprint to them to bring this gospel.